Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something that really powers modern business, software development outsourcing.
Which is basically hiring an outside company, a third-party vendor, to handle some or all of your development work.
Exactly. And our mission here is to really unpack this. We want to go beyond the, you know, the simple definitions and look at the actual strategy, the trade-offs, the real costs.
And the risks. Because outsourcing is, I mean, it's a huge part of digital transformation for so many companies. It gives you access to global talent.
But it only really works if you understand the models you're choosing from.
Right. It all starts there. And it basically boils down to four models, all based on geography. But really, it's an equation of cost versus control.
So if your absolute number one priority is saving money, you're looking at offshoring.
That's the one. Totally different regions, which means, yes, lower labor costs, maybe some tax benefits, but, and this is a big but, you inherit some major headaches.
Time zones, for one.
Time zones, legal systems, cultural barriers. It's a lot to manage.
Okay, so on the other end of the spectrum, what if you want maximum control?
Then you're looking at onshoring. Same country, same language, no communication friction. The downside. It's almost always the most expensive option.
So nearshoring is the balance between them.
It tries to be. Nearby countries, maybe in the same time zone, it cuts down on travel, it's easier to manage, but the labor costs are, you know, a bit higher than true offshoring.
And then there's the hybrid model, mixing and matching.
Exactly. You might offshore simple coding tasks, but keep your high-level system architecture onshore. It's a custom fit, but, well, managing all those different vendors gets complicated fast.
So why? Why do it? Why take on all that complexity?
Cost effectiveness is the big one. And it's more than just salaries. When you outsource, you're transferring these huge financial responsibilities over to the vendor.
Like what, specifically?
I'm talking about recruitment, training, all the social benefits, pensions, healthcare. That's not on your books anymore. That risk is shifted.
Plus, you don't have to buy the infrastructure. The specialized software, the powerful hardware, they already have it.
Precisely. And think about the talent. I mean, the real game changer is just access to skills.
Niche skills you just can't find locally.
Yes. A specific programming language or someone who deeply understands your industry. And this lets your own team focus. Your best people aren't bogged down with basic programming. They're working on, you know, growing the business. Sales, marketing, R&D.
Okay, that makes sense. But let's talk about the costs, because that's where people really scrutinize things. Location is obviously a factor.
It is. Labor rates, rent, utilities. They all vary, but, and this is critical, location should never be the only factor you look at.
Why not?
Because skill level often matters more. An engineer with 15 years of very specific experience is going to charge a premium. It doesn't matter if they're in Silicon Valley or Eastern Europe. It's pure supply and demand.
And the project itself, its complexity, must drive the cost too.
Oh, absolutely. A complex project needs more people analysts, quality assurance developers, and more resources like powerful cloud servers.
What about speed if you have a tight deadline?
You'll pay for it. Overtime, more staff. But the real danger in rushing is errors. You rush, you get mistakes, and then you pay even more to fix them later.
So knowing all that, how do you find the right partner?
You need a process, a rigorous one. It starts with homework. You have to analyze your own needs, be crystal clear on your budget, your timeline, what you actually want delivered.
And then the research phase.
Right. And don't just read their marketing material. Here's a tip. If they've built public-facing software, go try it. Read the end-user reviews. See what real people think of their work.
That's smart. Then you ask for proposals.
Yep. And pay attention to how they respond. A fast, thoughtful follow-up usually means they have good internal processes. Then, before you sign anything, get a legal advisor to review the contract. Formalize everything. IP rights, confidentiality, scope, all of it.
Even with a great contract, there are still risks.
Always. Communication is a big one. Time zones can cause delays. And then you have data security, which is a huge concern when you're sharing sensitive IP.
And you're also becoming dependent on them if their country has, say, political instability.
Your project is suddenly at risk, which is why mitigation is so important. You need clear expectations, good communication tools, and robust data protection.
Like mandating they adhere to standards like GDPR or ISO 27001.
Exactly. That has to be in the contract, because in the end, success isn't just the lowest hourly rate. It's did they deliver on time, on budget, and is the quality there? Does it actually work?
So that brings us to our final thought for you. As these global hybrid teams become more common, the complexity of managing them just keeps growing. So, think about this. What is the one essential skill you, the client, need to develop internally to make a long-term partnership succeed?
It's really that combination of sophisticated project management and cultural agility. You have to become the bridge that closes those gaps in time zones and communication styles.